Hi and hello and welcome to the RBR.music podcast. My name is Steve Curley and as always I'm joined by the creator of the RBR.music Instagram page, Jordan Murray. Hello.
Hello.
Each episode, in true RBR fashion, we're bringing you classic and new album reviews. It's our mission to cut through the noise to discuss the sound. On the RBR radar this episode, we're going to be discussing Heavy Heavy, the fourth studio album by Scottish lo-fi indie group Young Fathers. Take it away, Jord.
Young Fathers, you mentioned an indie group, but I think it's more wide-ranging than that. Are they classed as an indie group on your...
The genre I've got here is
indie.
Lo-fi, indie, soul, alternative hip-hop,
Afrobeats,
indie-tronica, Afrobeats, art pop, advent pop, noise pop.
Right, noise?
I don't know
noise
what noise pop,
pop is.
That's just the noise a balloon makes.
Very good. Leave the comedy out of it. This is a serious thing matter we're talking about. Okay, so we know what genre it is, kind of, sort of. Every genre under the sun. But first, let me tell you about something you notice when you see any promotional photographs of Young Fathers. The high school friends, Aloysius, G and Chaos. It's that they're always very close, always touching, always connected, hands on shoulders or embracing. It's a striking assertion from the band. And that togetherness is an attitude that is echoed throughout their work. Lyrically and musically, it's always felt like they have a purpose, that they've driven each other to push their own limits and the boundaries of their craft. They've been lauded with critical acclaim. They've won a Mercury Music Prize with their debut album, Dead. In previous podcasts, we've pointed out that the Mercury Music Prize over here in Britain is seen as the holy grail of awards. You have your boring sort of fast food awards like the Brit Awards and stuff like that and whatever. It's like the Grammys, should it?
It carries a lot of gravitas to be nominated, let alone win.
Yeah. So if you're going to get nominated, it's a big thing, and winning is obviously even bigger. They're a Scottish band, and they've won two Scottish Album of the Year awards, I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, they have? Okay, cool. But I get a feeling that the awards don't matter too much for the Edinburgh Trio. It's something much bigger. For the recording of Heavy Heavy, the follow-up to 2018's critically acclaimed Cocoa Sugar, retreated to their basement studio, just them and their equipment, and an assortment of instruments and production gear. Everything plugged in, turned on, ready to create what needed to be created. And it's a ploy that worked. The work here feels fresh, as vital as anything they've done previously, with a poise of a group who are comfortable in their own skin. Musically, it's more. It is more than they've done in the past. With the opening trio, Rice, I Saw and Drum, they're all powerfully driven by grinding Afro beats, pulsing with urgency. Rice is a vital piece of pure joy. Young Fathers sound almost evangelical in their jubilant, triumphant chanting and riffs. I Saw is spikier. I want your shield. I want your weapon. Give me that bulletproof vest, they sing. They demand over post punk beats before building to a crescendo of joyous chanting again. Drum is then another invocation to get primal with them. Hear the beat of the drums and go numb. Have fun, go on. Heavy Heavy then moves into a second movement of sorts. Tell Someone is 3 minutes of blissed out ambience before you get soulful with Geronimo. And it kind of goes on from there with the a song called Ulation, a beautiful homage to African roots. It embraces Zulu language over a woozy but exuberant and almost folky instrumentation. Before the record's final trio of tracks return to the vibrant urgency of the opening. It is just so, just a mindfuck of music. Young Fathers. I first learned about Young Fathers on the previous album, which was called, can anyone remember?
Cocoa Sugar.
Cocoa Sugar. Yes, quite correct, Stephen. Cocoa Sugar. Because I thought, just looking at the image, and in hindsight, it looks nothing like her. But I just thought, it's like the art pop sort of imagery that she uses. I thought it was a Grace Jones picture.
Oh, right, okay.
And of like 80s sort of pop music. So I thought, oh, I'll put this on for a bit of a laugh. And it was, it was Young Fathers. I should have read the title. But yeah, so then that's when they came on my radar. And then 4 years later, they released this, which, yeah, then I remembered them all over again. I think it's a joyous album. I wouldn't say it's overly easy to listen to, because there's so much going on. You have to, there's certain genres within each song that I don't enjoy, but if you stick with it, it carries on through into a huge overwhelming wall of sound. Of like I said to you before recording, it reminded me of not the music, just in my little bizarre imagination, it reminded me of when the Blues Brothers saw the light in the church, when James Brown is singing Hallelujah and all that business. It does feel evangelical, which I mentioned before, like with the Afro beats and the chanting and the hush whispers. Yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I've got to say, I really enjoyed it. I didn't know if I was going to when you sort of proposed it and I sort of listened for the first time, and I probably didn't overly enjoy it the first time. It's definitely, as you say, a bit of a grower, and that is every track, not the whole album as a whole. It sort of it gets better almost by the second than by the track. I think the thing that really kind of I've enjoyed understanding of the band was, yes, I think they're very well received. This is their most successful album to date. It went to number 2 in the Scottish album charts, number 7 in the UK album charts. Prior to that, they hadn't got past number 28. So obviously, the most.
So maybe it's not a very difficult album for me. I found it really.
I can imagine within its whatever it is, its genre pool. I mean, I bopped on their Instagram and they seem to have a fairly decent following. That you know that they've been around a long time. I think what was really interesting was actually reading they were involved in a number of tracks from the Trainspotting 2 soundtrack. They actually wrote a track, Only God Knows, for the film. Okay. And Danny Boyle actually said that it was like the heartbeat of the film for him, which is pretty high kind of praise, really. So as I was reading this, I was sort of understanding maybe they are quite a cultured musician band. So you pick up on those things a little bit more than just the music. The other thing I picked up on as well, I know you and me aren't big gamers, but we've all had a go of FIFA at some point. They've actually appeared twice on two FIFA soundtracks, FIFA 19 and FIFA 23. And anyone who's into FIFA, like, generally, bands can really kind of make or break a commercial turn. Bands like the Kooks and Dizzy Rascal, Kasabian, Kings of Leon, you know, they've appeared down the years.
Right.
So I thought it was quite interesting whilst listening to the album and then trying to understand the band as well, who were completely new to me less than a week ago. There's a lot of credit there, and like you said, you don't win a Mercury Music Prize for being kind of a flash in the pan. You really don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So after I sort of had a bit more understanding, I suppose it's like joining the party with the cool kids. I actually enjoyed it more. I don't think that was because of the knowledge I'd gathered. I think it was more the fact that I was able to sort of feel
I felt qualified to kind of try and understand them better. And in doing that, the album made a lot more sense. There's a little bit of the album that I really don't enjoy. We'll come to it later on, but there's a sort of the back end of the album. There's a couple of tracks that do absolutely nothing for me. The first one to five or six tracks, I think, are just like they just roll off the playlist. They just keep. I felt like they just went from one to another really smoothly, actually.
Once you accept the journey and stop trying to figure out what's going on, I think. And just go roll with it, roll with the punches. One to six, like, they just are joyous, great tracks.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think you and I particularly focus on the first three tracks. And, we always like a strong album start because that's what hooks you in. And, Rice, I Saw and Drum, just really, really good, solid opening album sort of tunes and made me want to listen more. And like I said, I got from one to six or seven. It's not a particularly long album. I mean, it's only 10 tracks, 32 and a half minutes. But like the first 20 minutes of that just flew by because I did actually really enjoy it.
Yeah, well, it is tightly wound over its 32-minute running time, but it's very dense in its substance. It's busy and chaotic, the sound. So I think if it went over, we've said this in a previous podcast with the Strokes, I think if it went over 32 minutes or whatever, 40 minutes, I think it would be a struggle to keep up with what's going on. Maybe that's my age, but because it's so dense and chaotic, I think it works being a short album with what they're trying to put across. Ultimately, though, joy flows throughout this record in various ways. Full stop. I'm just saying. I think it works as a short album. Like no song seldomly dribbles over the 3 minute mark, really.
No.
And I think it leaves you, and then you get hit by another chaotic 3 minutes of madness, which I welcome.
I think we don't pay a huge amount of attention to this, but they released four singles from this album.
Right.
I Saw, Rice, Tell Somebody, and Geronimo.
Geronimo,
they're the songs you would choose to release. It definitely exposes them, and like someone who did not know who they were. Like, I've gone now back and listened to, not their full catalogue, but certainly a fair few tracks now. I've put them on my Spotify. I'm going to try and plug into them. So, like any good album, third, fourth, fifth down the line, if it hooks you back into the band. And I think there'd be a band that, because they're a bit different to what you and I would normally go and see live, if they did appear in Manchester, I probably would, go and have a listen, because I think they're quite a fascinating trio. I like the story of being friends since school or college, certainly teenagers anyway. And I think the more and more you understand them, they have been really well received over the years.
I think this is, of course, speculation, and I have absolutely no idea. But I think their following is so large and getting larger now. Is every album they will release. It doesn't have to be back-to-back albums. They can have time figuring out the sound that they want to produce, want to make, and they'll know that people will want to buy into them, which is a good place to be as an artist, I suppose, rather than getting forced to release whatever your record label is telling you to release. So they seem to have a lot of say in what they are releasing, and luckily and happily they have an audience for it.
Well, I thought it was quite interesting, for four albums they've had two with Big Dada label and then now Ninja Tune, and sometimes you do find a band can slip off or be accelerated forward by the record label they sign or move to, but they seem consistent within that. I mean, I know of these record labels. I don't know how they differ with regards to why they've moved on, but there seems to be this really solid ongoing consistency. I actually don't think there's a huge amount different on this album to what they've done before. That, again, I'm learning, so I could be wrong in that at this point, but I don't mind saying it at the moment because I'm actually really enjoying the sort of discovery of back catalogue. And like I said, definitely going to pay a lot more interest into them now. And the things and the people and the kind of culture that they've been around really intrigues me. Just from a like pop culture type point of view, you know, Danny Boyle, Trainspotting. So yeah, really, really, really enjoyed it. Did have some difficulties picking the good track. Because I do think there's a handful of really good tunes. It was very easy actually for me to pick the bad track, which we'll come to in a bit. But yeah, really, really enjoyed it. Pleased to have it put in front of me and sort of found a bit of a band I probably wouldn't have come across. So again, thank you, RBR.
It's not an album that's in my comfort zone. And I think, although saying that, I do enjoy it. But yeah, it's not an album in my comfort zone. And that's what you need sometimes, is to be pulled out of... Because I write reviews for the RBR.music Instagram page and we do this podcast, I don't just want to have the same sort of genre all the time, or else it'll just get stagnant and stale and boring. So I do try and find different albums to discuss, and this was so far out of my sort of realm of understanding, because it does, as we named all the genres, like, and somehow it works. It's like there's genres that I don't even understand, like noise pop, but and what was it, avant-garde and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, sometimes you just make up genres to sell something, don't they? So
I definitely think we said something very similar about Yard Act last year. Again, picking a slightly off the wall genre'd band, and we fell into something we end up really, really loving. So I think that's the joy of the RBR.music Instagram podcast, is we can actually, you know, be opened up to more. And the whole premise of putting the podcast together and the Instagram together for you was to actually get talking about music. And one of the best things is your mates recommending you a new album, right?
Yeah. And if you can't blow your own trumpet, who's going to blow it for you?
Exactly.
Newsly, the all-in-one super app for iOS and Android. How does Newsly work, I hear you ask? Well, it picks up the most trending articles on the web on topics that you choose, and at any given moment, reads them out in a natural human voice. For the first time ever, the entire web becomes listenable and all in one place. Browse articles from topics that you choose and start playing. Stop scrolling and start listening. You can follow topics such as sport, tech, business, science, or even music. They have a podcast as well. Explore trending podcasts from over 80 countries. Our podcast, the RBR.music podcast, is there too. I've started using it as my default podcast app, and they even have digital radio. So download and start using Newsly for free from www.newsly.me or in the description. And if you use the promo code, that's RBRMUS, you'll receive 1 month free premium subscription. Go and give it a go.
But I think the album, although I've said that it's got so many genres, it's hard to pinpoint down. It does still have a bluesy rock and roll take on gospel. That's what I was trying to get out before, the gospel sound. It's very rhythmic, there's chanting going on, yet it still refuses simple definition. So rather than seeking their niche among contemporaries or finding a reason to be heard, I think Young Fathers have simply hit the record button and existed. They just are making music that they want to make, and they don't care about what's out there. They probably don't listen to that much music. Like, it reminds me of not the musical style, but how Massive Attack or Prodigy used to, well, this is still about, but work.
Yeah.
They just get together and they create. They don't actually listen to what's going on and what's in the chart. So, like, more trailblazers, I suppose. And
yeah, yeah. I completely agree with the two bands you mentioned there. I also, there was an emotional feeling towards kind of a Block Party kind of second, third album type twist to it as well. Like really owning what they want to do and not being sort of swayed to stick within a realm that would be, you know, perceived successful, yep. if that makes sense. Yep. But yeah, I think you, yeah, Prodigy, definitely, Block Party, Massive Attack, I can hear, 100%. So it's at this point, of course, we deliver the RBR.music star rating. Jord, what is the star rating and why?
When I listened to the album, or I've listened to it a good few times, and I just do think it's a joyous explosion of noise. And I do think you should listen to it. Anyone listening to this podcast should go and listen to it. I think it's let down by at least two songs near the end. Just weren't for me. But on saying that, and dare I say this, because it's got two songs I don't really like, I think it's up there for album of the year. I understand it's early on in 2023, but it's so eclectic, so different, and it just grows on me every time I listen to it, and I find something new every time I listen to it. I just think it's a powerful album, and with the hushed whispers and the chanting, and I'm picking like lyrics out that I hadn't heard before on like other listens. And it's a journey that I'm just really enjoying, and it's only 30 odd minutes, and yeah, I just think it's a strong album, even though it is lacking in a few places. That being said, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5,
which is always, but yeah, just always, you know, we back up with the who's your respectable score. And when I was doing my research into the band, they seem very consistently within that sort of 4 out of 5, 8, 9 out of 10, you know, they're definitely well thought of, and we think the same. So yeah, 4 out of 5 for the RBR.music star rating. So it's at this point of the pod we do our good, the bad and the rad, which, as we always say, is picking 3 tracks, maybe a few more in this case, 1 good, 1 bad and 1 particularly rad. Good, Jord. I don't think there's any issues trying to pick a good track on this album, right?
So good for me would be Drum. That's, I think that's a crowd pleaser, and it's a welcoming song to get you into the album. Was it released as a single, did you say?
No. It's not one of the 4 released yet.
No, okay, that's fine. I just see this. It's not actually a song like any of the other songs on the album. It's not as chaotic, should I say. There's still a wall of sound. There's still like joyous praise going on. It's all powerfully driven by grinding beats and a pulsing urgency. And it does lift you up. And it's just a good all-round song. Yet I don't think it's a song that describes the album as a whole, but for me it is a good, it's a very good album, a very good song, sorry.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, I 100% agree. It's one of my sort of, yeah, I would definitely say I prefer this one. I also had a little nod to Be Your Lady, last track. You refer to that gospel soul sound, and it starts with a real nice kind of gospely soul sound, but then it almost goes a little bit Trainspotting 1, kind of like Britpop, indie sped up. It's got a really nice like 2 sides to it. But yeah, it wasn't hard picking some good tracks on this. That, like I said, the first 6 or 7 tracks are brilliant. However, that takes us to the bad track. I will lead on the bad track here. I think we are in complete agreement with this. Holy moly, not a fan of at all for me. It was a bit drum and bass, a bit hardcore for me. Just didn't really enjoy it.
It's not our sort of style, is it?
Just couldn't see myself putting it on again. And actually, similarly, Sink or Swim, same sort of kind of...
Yeah, the one after each other, Sink or Swim and then Holy
Moly. Yeah, Holy Moly, definitely my bad track, but a slight nod to Sink or Swim I didn't really enjoy either. Were there any others that you didn't enjoy, Jord?
No, it's those two are the ones I just couldn't and still can't get into. And that's why the album for me isn't 4.5 or any higher, and it's 4 out of 5 star rating. Those songs just let it down ever so slightly, but the rest of the album is just absolute chaotic bliss.
Well, then I suppose we should move on to our rad track, and as Jordan made out before, drum has its own little niche part of the album. The rest of the good tracks, you'll feel, were like a wall of exciting noise. And we could have picked a few rad tracks, couldn't we? But we've gone this episode with I Saw, which is one of their releases. I think it was their second release back end of last year. It is just a fantastic melange of noise and energy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a powerful song. It's got like a persuasive urgency to it.
Yeah, it's I think that's the interesting thing about it, though, because it's definitely got the most. It's probably one of the simpler songs on the album. But you know, it is this sort of kind of wall of noise, but it's quite simple in its kind of makeup. However, it's just brilliant. I've put that one on probably 5 or 6 times today because it got me energized. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, it's like a good, not like a go to the gym, but I'd imagine it's a good workout album. This. To get you motivated, or go if you're going for a new interview, or it does just pick you up. And this song especially, with its chorus and its the ongoing progression of how it just gets, the momentum is almost overwhelming as it just bursts into this, I keep on saying it, but it's true, this wall of sound just hits you. And that's where like the gospel-y...
It's the rhythmic kind of like... thud and...
Like the Afro beat and bass holds like quite a lot of the songs down, especially this one.
No, definitely. Our rad track this week, I Saw, brilliant. And guys and girls, go and have a listen. It is a really fun album. I think you'll have a similar view to us and enjoy the discovery and exploring of this album and band. And I wish the band all a lot, because I think they're probably ready to maybe have a bit more of a broader commercial explosion maybe this year.
It'd be good if they do. I think they need to do like Glastonbury and stuff like that to get them seen by a wider audience. On saying that, I think they do have quite a big audience. I'd like to see them be
fair. Well, they've got 44,000 followers on Instagram, so they're not going under the radar. And it's probably the fact we're not as cool as you think we are, as two men in their late 30s now.
I don't think anyone thinks we're cool.
No, definitely not. But 100%. As always, nice one everyone for listening. Do go and take some time to listen to this album. I think Heavy is something that will be listened to throughout this year. I can predict it's going to end up probably on our...
A summer album, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it'll be on our top 20 for the year, I think, definitely. Maybe sneak in the top 10. It's up there at the moment, definitely. Go and enjoy Young Father's Heavy. But guys, guys and girls, thanks again for listening. Please do feel free to comment, like, subscribe, and get involved with the Instagram page and the podcast. As always, we get some great comments and discussions that Jordan enjoys having with you guys, so please keep that coming. It makes us smile and it keeps us doing what we want to do. And again, please feel free to pass the message on to anyone and get listeners our way. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Cocoa Sugar. I thought it was Grace Jones.